Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Shave your pussy, Brian. Keep it cool.
Okay.
What? No, your cat, man. It's having, like, fucking heat stroke. What's going on?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm serious. You need to shave that cat. Go get some clippers. And then you can, like, shave it like a dragon, like that thing that I showed you. Because that's awesome. You put freaking Godzilla spikes on its back and a poofy tail. Hell yes.
All right.
That's the business. Right. Welcome. Welcome to the space.
To ZomboCom. No,
you can do anything at all at SpaceGameJunkie.com.
Yeah, so, let's see. So, folks... we didn't have a podcast last week because
my
computer exploded or something. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened.
I know happened. What happened.
What happened?
You took your computer apart.
Yeah, and so...
You touched it. Never touch it.
I did. I did touch it.
Show us on the doll where you touch the computer. What? No.
I did touch it. And how do you land? How the fuck do you land?
I think you go to the planet and I don't know. L?
No, that didn't do diddly shit.
I don't know. I should play this game more. Beer and pretzels. Do you have any pretzels?
Thrust automatic landing. Yes, there we go.
There it is. Wow, dude, it is Privateer.
It really is.
It's fabulous. You know what it reminds me of a lot you're on the ground is Auto Duel.
Is what?
Auto Duel, the old Origin game.
It was reminding me of a game that I played, Sundog. It was reminding me of Sundog.
Oh, I have never played Sundog.
Oh my
god, you can walk around in your ship. That's cool. Wow. I need to make a space roguelike. I would save so much money on graphics.
So before we get into our main topic, let's just catch up real quick because, you know, I've been busy as fuck and you've been busy with stuff. So how are you doing?
Well, you know, I had to get busy living or get busy dying. So I just got busy.
Those hoes ain't going to slap themselves.
That's right.
That's going.
Oh, dude, did you see on Facebook I put that, the video? It's awesome.
No, I don't think I saw it.
It's how I felt all week. It's just this guy, he's at like a picnic, and one of the kids does something, and he walks over and smacks the kid, and then somebody comes up and is like, hey, you can't, and he's like, pow, and smacks them, and then it's just like everybody at the frickin' barbecue, like, lines up, and he's just like smacking them all down.
Right.
Like, just slapping them on the face, and they fall over, you know, and then, yeah, so then the cops show up, and they're like, hey, we're the cops, and he starts like... slapping them. It's just like it's the ultimate in like shut up schmack. This is like that's how I felt all week.
I'm sorry.
You know, no, it's good. It's you know, it's like it's work related, let's say. But right. Yeah, it's that stuff that we've known was going to happen for months.
Oh.
The date has passed, right? So a bunch of dumb shit went on. But that's okay, because I have a new job. I'm waiting on that phone call. It'll be fabulous. I hope they're not listening here, because then they'll be like, hey, we don't want to hire that guy. But, you know, I'm nice. I'm nice. I'm so nice.
I don't really want
to slap people.
No. Why would you? That's just stupid.
Oh, my God. Sorcerer King is the best fucking game that I have ever played. Huh?
I enjoyed it. I've only played one game, and the random map generator put my city on the side of a mountain, which is the weirdest fuck. Which is like, what?
Well, no, why? It's defensible, man. You can defend the shit out of that.
I suppose.
Get a magic spell. You can drop that mountain down, make it into a peaceful garden. I bought a Chia Pet.
What?
Yeah. I got the Uncle Cy Chia Pet, in fact. the Duck Dynasty guy, because it was like $3 on Amazon, because Joan bought a bunch of chia seeds, right? She was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do whatever, put these in salads and stuff. And then she's like, I want to sprout them, you know, and like put them in salads and whatever. Well, we need something to grow them on. Well, right. Let's get a fucking chia pet, man. So she wanted like the classic lamb or whatever, and those things were like $25. But they got, you know, Duck Dynasty on clearance because, you know, they're like Hulk Hogan now. They're unmentionable. And so it was like $5 for, or four something, right, for the Uncle Cy. And it's basically he grows a chia beard.
Right.
So that's it, man. I'm going to have Uncle Cy in the kitchen living on the counter growing his weed. So I don't know. It's so random. So beer and pretzels, casual games, stuff.
That's... Yeah, I don't honestly remember how we got on this topic, but either one of us or someone talked about, you know, casual space games where you don't need a lot of time to play them.
I think it actually came up that night that we were doing the LucasArts stuff, and we talked about
Yoda stories.
Yep. And then we were like, we need to do a show about that, and here we are. And Yoda stories didn't even make the list. I had to add it last minute. How about that?
I thought Yoda stories was on the list.
I didn't see it. I'm not observant, though. It's that ADD, whatever. Hey, you want to ride bikes after this?
Let's go. Squirrel. Ride bikes.
So I was thinking about games that aren't on the list.
Yeah,
And I have a lot of games. Well, I have a lot of games. But I have a lot of games that I don't know if you would... call them like you know, like a beer and pretzels or a coffee break game, right? It's not something where you just, you know, because it's like Master of Orion 2. Well, that's not a coffee break game, right? Although you can like pick it up and play it, and it's a simple game sort right. of by yeah. modern standards. But I'm thinking like there is a space for this kind of game where it's actually like, could you take Master of Orion and boil that down into a Candy Crush type of casual thing, but still keep the core gameplay there where it's just like, you know, just give me sliders for stuff instead of making me like manage a bunch of whatever. And where I could, well, there was an old hex map game that was called like Warp Gate or something, like
I remember
way back, right? And it was like, it was a quick, simple game where, you know, you just like fly your ships and they'd fight and you'd just roll a d6, oh, I lost, you know, whatever. And do you remember Space Amoeba from Avalon Hill?
It does sound familiar.
So Space Amoeba, you would build ships and you'd go fight these space amoebas, right? I wonder if anybody ever did a computer version. Like, they did a computer version of Memoir 44. It's pretty damn successful, right? That's beer and pretzels war game right there, right?
What's Memoir 44?
It's a World War II fairly simple war game. It's like an introductory war game, right? It ain't Advanced Squad Leader or anything, that's for sure. But there's just – it's like simple rules. There's not a lot of exceptions to the rules. It's just things do what they do. And, you know, it's easy. I haven't played it in for frickin' ever, so I can't remember specifics of how the mechanics work. But I played it on the tabletop, like, way back. But, you know, this thing from Avalon Hill, though, Space Amoeba, and there was, like, three different kinds of spaceships, and I think you had space stations, too, and, you know, each planet had, like, so much production, so you could buy whatever ships. Well, the ships had... like pips on them. It would be 1, 2, or 3 dots depending on how big the ship was. So you roll a d6 and add, you know, if it was a 2-pip ship, d6 plus 2. And that's what that guy did, right? And, you know, it was fast, streamlined stuff. And like Ogre. You remember Ogre?
I've heard of it.
The giant tank thing. Oh, if you never played that, that was really cool. There was a computer version, Origin once again. Back in the day, right? They did some
good stuff.
So this would translate really well into a space game, I think. So do you remember Fred Saberhagen's Berserker books? It was a bunch of short stories about basically like think Terminator in space, but instead of Skynet sending Terminators, it would send Death Stars. Right, and it's just like it just wanted anywhere it could find humanity, it was trying to wipe them out. So it would send like these giant frickin', you know, superstar destroyer size AI ships like V'ger, you know, come and the purpose is just to nuke the planet, right? So then the humans would have to figure out some way to stop it and whatever. So Ogre is very much like that. It's a giant tank, right? And it's a giant AI cyber tank, and it's a juggernaut. Nothing can slow it down, and it moves, you know, X number of inches per turn across the table, or hexes, you know. And the hexes were based on, like, how healthy its treads are, right? So you have – and it's a very asymmetric game because one player controls this one unit, and the other player – has the swarm of tanks, the little guys, tanks and infantry and stuff, and they are trying to basically, like, you can't kill it in one shot. You have to pick pieces off of it. So there's a strategy to that, right? It's like, do I shoot the anti-personnel weapons? Do I try to shoot the main guns, you know, because they've got like X number of hit points, or do I need to slow it down? I need to chisel the treads off of it. Right.
Right.
And it's kind of, and it happens kind of at a big scale because, I mean, these things are tossing tac nukes at each other. Right. So it's not just like little M1 tanks or whatever. It's like huge destruction kind of thing. And it translated pretty well to a computer game because the computer plays the ogre and it just continuously comes at you. And that's all you can do is just like, it's a combination of killing it and slowing it down. Because if you don't slow it down, you won't have time to kill it. But if you're not trying to kill it as well, then it's going to eat up all your units. So you have to kind of half disarm it, half cripple it, and then kill it off. So, and every game of it plays differently too, right? So it's a very simple game, though. Like, you can learn the rules in 10 minutes. Like, you play that game one time, and you know the rest of your life how to play Ogre. Right? Because it's that simple. But the thing is, the execution of it can be done in a multitude of different ways. So it's like, I don't know, it's like checkers with a lot of variables, right? So the game of checkers, well, it's easy to figure out. But every time you play against somebody, you know, they can be really good at it and surprise you. So anyway, that's my definition for like beer and pretzels thing, you know. Another perfect example is Space Hulk.
That's true.
Yeah. Have you ever played the board game Space Hulk?
No, I've only played the computer version.
Okay.
Like from the mid-90s. I haven't even played the newest one yet.
Oh, you're missing it. Because the new one, well, the new one is more like XCOM than anything. But the one that was in the middle, which they were like, well, people didn't really like it because it was a literal translation of the tabletop rules. So the people that liked the tabletop was just like, yeah, man, that's it. That's what we wanted for a bazillion years, right? Mm. But it didn't really translate into a computer game really well because it's pretty unfair. You know, it's like no matter what you do, it's a lot of random, you know? It's like, okay, so I kill this guy if I roll a 6 or better. Or, you know, or if I every time I roll a 6, I kill the guy. Or if I have, like, the cool gun, a 5 or a 6 will do it. But if I roll doubles, my gun jams. Right? So you could, like, shoot the guy and miss. Oh, shit, my gun jammed. And then he just rolls over you because you get in close combat. And the Gene Stealers, they have no range, right? So it's like every time he takes a step, you get a shot. So the Gene Stealer player has to do ambushes where he doesn't just charge across a big open space and give you plenty of time to shoot him. He tries to catch you in a bottleneck or something, right? Basically the Gene Stealer player is just waiting for an opportunity, like your gun jammed. And then, you know, the frickin' hallways just explode with aliens, you know, because it's like you can't do anything about it. Here we come. So it's a strategy like that, but it's a very simple game because it's like, okay, this game or this dice will kill him. You know, it's a storm boulder. You roll two dice. If either dice is a 6, that guy dies. That's it. That's the rules. And until you get to the expansion stuff, and it's like this guy has like 5 movement points, so you can move 5 squares. Changing facing by 90 degrees costs a point. right? So you can move three forward, turn, and move another forward, and that's your move. And if you have moves left over, you put the guy on Overwatch. And that is where Overwatch from XCOM came from.
Oh.
XCOM borrowed a lot from Gene Stealer, Space Hulk, whatever. Which Space Hulk was originally... what the heck was that called? It was... I cannot remember the name of it. Somebody knows. But, yeah, whatever the heck it was. It was Space Crusade. That's it. And Space Crusade, there was a game of that was out, like, on the Amiga, like, back in the day. And I think I think it actually came out, like, on the... whatever that computer was, the ZX Spectrum or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, it was originally a Spectrum game. And so the guy that did XCOM had originally made this game called Laser Squad, and then Laser Squad got kind of turned into this Space Crusade game, right? And what's his name? Julian Gallup, right? The guy that's making Chaos Reborn. Yeah, so he's the great-grandfather of this shit. And... so he made Laser Squad, and then that kind of got taken by the Games Workshop people and turned into a Space Marine game. And then he turned it back into XCOM, and then XCOM, you know, it kind of continues to evolve, right? But it's like that whole original thing, I think, was his brainchild back then, the base mechanic of it. So pretty cool, but it's a very simple game. I'm trying to think of other stuff that's really simple like that. Like, when you said, hey, let's talk about just pick it up, play it 5 minutes, put it down kind of games, the very first one that came to mind was Weird Worlds, because that is the definition of very short time span game, because it puts a limit on you. Like, you're only going to play this game for 20 minutes, and then it ends, whether you want it to or not, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That looks like that game you're playing right there.
That's exactly what I'm playing.
How
actually.
Weird. This,
how weird is that? Now, this is the first game people like thought of when I mentioned this. This is the first game people thought of. And I think this is kind of, for me, this is the first one that comes to mind as well. Is, you know, because it's basically Starflight in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Or 20 minutes.
And it's nice like that. And it controls well. And
yeah. Very easy to deal
but
with.
But it's a lot of random, right?
A lot of random.
But that's okay, because it's like you're fighting the dice, right? And it's roguelike in that way, because, it's... I wonder if anybody has ever made, like, a quick roguelike. Like, this is a roguelike, and you only get X turns, and it's done. So figure out... But roguelikes are kind of spread out, right? Because, like, you have to do all that exploring and whatever. And here, it's just, like, choose what planet you go to, and that's one move. So... Yeah,
it's a lot different.
Yeah, but it's pretty damn cool, because it's like, well, you get to the planet and they're either going to fight you or like you, and if they like you, they'll trade with you, and you never know what they're going to have, but you might have something from some other planet that they want, and then it's decisions like, do I give this thing up? I can trade this to them, or whatever. You know, the other game that I find is a lot like this is that Curious Expedition.
Oh, that's fun stuff.
Yeah, but think Curious Expedition in space. Oh, that would be this. You know, except
similar,
not as much trading with the natives and stuff, and you don't get...
Curious Expedition is a great game, by the way, people.
I got mauled by a frickin' gorilla the other night, and it was just...
I believe it.
Yeah. It's
I
not
believe
good.
It.
The combat system in that is brutal. It's just like, wow, I've got a shotgun. Okay, and you roll, you know, a couple of dice, and then, you know, like, you get a tiger on you, and you lose half the party, because the tiger is running around just eating everybody. But it's cool for the scale that it's at, because that's very Beer and Pretzels too, right?
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like, oh, here's this thing on the map, and I want to go there, and there's X amount of jungle between me and it, and it costs 1 point of machete every time, you know, or whatever. And going down a cliff costs rope, and, you know, so you're kind of resource limited. But if you traded well with the villagers, you've got some rope. Or maybe you traded the rope to them to get some magic beans or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that game is hella cool. It's brutal. And so is this,
brutal.
Right?
Yeah. That's the thing about roguelikes. Like, we're going to talk about a good deal of roguelikes tonight. And that's kind of the whole, that's kind of the definition of the short, quick to play. I mean, you can play one roguelike over several sessions if you want, but you can still like have one session that lasts 3 minutes, you know.
As I often do.
Yes. Yeah. As much as we love roguelikes, you know.
Yeah, so I wanted to almost throw Zotrix in here, but then I played the new build of Zotrix since they released it, and it's just like, oh wow, that's not casual anymore. That shit got hardcore. Yeah, well, I mean, because to get upgrades for your ship, you have to collect elements, and you can't always find all the elements from killing stuff, so you have to trade. So you go to a trade station, and it's like, hey, you know, it's like playing Settlers then, or what the hell is it? Catan, right? Settlers of Catan. And it's like, hey, I'll trade you some wool for this wood, you know, or whatever. And it's like, okay, now I got enough to buy the gun. Because it's not just money. It's you have to have X amount of each element to afford it. So that forces a trade mechanic. It's pretty elegant, actually, how they did it. But yeah, you'll get your ass beat if you don't do that, because you got to upgrade the ship. And
yeah, I'm about to get my ass beat.
Yeah, man, you got Klingons off the starboard bow there, bro. You should run.
Yeah.
What is flying at you? Is that missiles? You're trying to shoot them? What's happening?
It's not going well.
No.
I'm about to blow up, I think. Again.
You know what else? What else I would take as a beer and pretzels game? I don't think it's on the thing. Star Control.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Oh, yeah, the
first
one.
No, the second one's a completely different beast. But yeah, the first one, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it was quick, man. It was just like, you know, the fight. Was there even, there was a map, right, in the first one, but it was really simple.
It was really simple. You know what that reminds me of? Another game that's kind of Beer and Pretzel-y, but adds a little more, that's Wing Commander Armada. Remember that one? It was a very simple strategy map. You just move your fleets around every now and again.
No, I keep getting it confused with Academy, and Academy was so tragic.
Academy was just the sim. Academy was like, they want another Wing Commander game, but Wing Commander 3 isn't ready yet. Throw them something.
Right, and it was just like...
Throw them the simulator from the Tiger's Claw. Throw them that.
Exactly, yeah. That. Yeah. But it had multiplayer, right? That was like the attraction.
That was the big thing. That was the thing. It had multiplayer.
You could get on Duango and on your 33-6
Kale. You can get on Cali.
Yeah. Well, God, what was there? There was 10. Total Entertainment Network.
There's 10. And then there was the Prodigy had something. And... what was the other one? It was like Gemini something or
yeah, and then there was something Storm, which was actually like Kesmai that broke out from AOL, like it was AOL games, and then it became its own external thing. And what was noteworthy about that is they had multiplayer BattleTech, and they had Legends of Kesmai. It was Game Storm. That was the name of it, I think.
Oh, I remember Game Storm. Air Warrior was on
yes,
that,
sir.
Wasn't it?
Yep. And
yes.
God, I did love me some Air Warrior.
Oh, God, I did too.
And what the heck else did they have? Oh, they had the Aliens game, you know, like
didn't that have the very basic Wing Commander game? Not Wing Commander, Mech Warrior game?
Yeah, it was multiplayer BattleTech Solaris.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I really like. Do you remember BattleTech 3025? That it came out in like a beta for a couple months, and then Activision crapped on it, or EA, or whoever had it.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I've gone and looked at videos, and my God, that game was ahead of its time. It was like MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries online.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, wow. For the day, it was a hell of a thing. And I weep that it never made it out. But anyway, yeah, lots and lots of fond memories of playing multiplayer BattleTech. But they had they also had Island of Kesmai on there, which was my first MMO, if you could call it that. And they had Neverwinter Nights, which was
really?
The MMO. Yeah.
No, yep. Really?
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, it was a turn-based D&D. Remember Gold Box Dungeons & Dragons, like on the Commodore?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Temple of Pool of Radiance and, you know, Rage Against the Machine and... No, that was a band. Pool of Radiance and such, right? I Curse of the Azure Bonds, I can't remember all of them. But anyway, it was that multiplayer.
Right.
So that was very cool back in the day. So, Atari... Cryptic Atari, whoever, they have the Neverwinter license now, and that's why you have Neverwinter whatever that's online, which is kind of neat because it's a free to play D&D game, but it's not like a pay to win. The grind is not so bad, and it's fun. Hint, hint. We should play it. But the users, and this is my suggestion. And here's where it comes back to space. It's coming back.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So for Elite, right, the way that they could get missions in Elite is what they do in Neverwinter. So players can create quests in Neverwinter. They get, like, an editor, and they make a frickin' quest in a map. And it's like, I want to do this quest, and I'm going to take my three friends, and we're going to do this guy's quest that this guy cooked up. And there's a rating system. And the quests get voted up if people, it's like thumbs up, thumbs down. Was it fun? And the higher rating ones like bubble to the top and it's content, and the developers of the game, they basically gave the content development toolkit. They just expose it in the game and made it streamlined. So you can just stick content in that bad boy. It would just be like stick a quest in Baldur's Gate 2. Okay. Except it's a 3D game. But it's like that. So why not in Elite allow players to actually create missions and stick them in the mission list? Put a freaking bounty on them. Like, yeah, whoever does this, right? Like, pay them whatever. But you're actually like paying money out of that character's pocket or something. I don't know. Or just let them just make the damn mission and have it in there. And then, like, the 20 best voted missions that are under a month old would stay there, but then they'd time out or something. There's a multitude of ways that they could do that. And that way, players would get a sense of ownership in a system, right? Because it's like, hey, this is my home system, and I'm making missions for, BD 3024, right? So when you come to BD 3024, my missions are in that list.
Right.
Deal. And the missions that I make are ones that actually like pump the faction of the people that I want to control my system or whatever. So it would tie like really well into power play, and it would give people something to do other than, oh, I'm going to haul pamphlets 10 at a time all day long.
God, I know.
It's terrible. And yeah, so that's why powers like Alicia Winters or Felicia Winters or whatever her name is.
Yeah,
that I don't understand how anybody can stand it, because it's just like, I'm gonna haul pamphlets. Oh, I'm gonna undermine. Oh, I'm gonna haul different colored pamphlets to different places, and it's just like, this is so freaking tedious. Oh, I have a giant Type 9. I can haul 10 pamphlets. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I find nothing cool happening about that. Hey, man, you got friends now. There's three of you.
I know. I've got guys.
You're doing better than I've ever done in that game. So
this is not help.
Yeah. Well, this is the new. This is the old one, right?
So, this is the new one.
This is the new one? Oh, yeah. Well, it's much more done than I remembered. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot more done. Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. So, what's weird about it is it has mixed reviews on Steam. Yeah, it's in the mixed. I can't freaking understand why. I don't understand that either. It's like, this isn't Master of Orion. Fuck this game. Like,
well, that's not supposed to be Master of Orion.
I know.
Guys, this game is great.
But the first one has excellent reviews, and this is like more of the same, and we hate it. I don't get it. We'll have to ask him. Is he coming in here? Is he around?
Well, I don't have his Skype info.
Oh, son of a gun. Well, remember? That sucks. What's his... You know what? Ping me his name in Steam chat or something.
I don't remember. Oh, hang on. His name is... Oh, hang on.
His name is... Let me look it up. Billy Joe what? Tommy
his name
Tucker
is,
Gray.
His name is what? His name is what? Slim Shady. Yeah, I did that.
I know. I'm letting it fade.
Hey, I've got a friend with me now. Very cool.
Oh, well, I was going to say I could search the Skypes and see if I find him.
Let me hang on, folks, 1 second. Gotta find him.
I'm all up in the Skizipes.
Gotta find him.
You got an email from him, right? You have to have an email from him somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. But I also have him on Facebook. So I could tell him.
Yeah.
To friend you.
Yeah, so we need to get him in here so he can atone for his mixed reviews.
All right, so I gave him your Skype name.
This is Digital Eel, right? This is the guys.
Yeah, okay. same people. We've had them on the show before.
Oh, I remember. I'm shocked that I actually remember the company name because I'm so good with names. Steve.
Yeah, this is so great. Steve.
Oh, wait, no, you're Brian. See?
There's a thing on Parks and Rec where Ron Swanson, if he, to show his disdain for you, he'll purposely forget your name.
Nice.
He'll say it right in front of you. Oh no! I think I hit a supernova or something without even knowing it.
Mm.
Oh, you bastard! That was fun. This game has gotten
a lot better.
You
just ran into it and died.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the great barrier, and God took your fucking starships. That's
fucking weird. It's fucking weird.
I don't know why I thought about that starship, right? They built that city.
So we're gonna go with another roguelike real quick. This one's also excellent. I just wish more people could play it. Because it's on Shrapnel Games and people aren't as ready to buy stuff on Shrapnel as they are on Steam.
You know,
which is just
until you said that, I forgot that Shrapnel actually existed.
I know.
Why don't they put their damn products on Steam where the money?
Well, look how long it took Matrix.
I know, right?
Whoa, what's that?
That's Skype deciding it's going to play an ad. Thanks, Skype.
Oh, jeez.
Frickin's.
So, yeah, this game was kickstarted, Approaching Infinity. It's a great fucking game.
I like that. Wow.
It's a great fucking game.
How come I don't have that? You're holding out on me.
No, I never got a press copy. This is my own copy from the Kickstarter.
Did they early access it yet, or that's what it is?
No, this is what it is.
I mean, so I can't go on Steam and just early access it.
It's not Steam at all. It's Shrapnel Games.
Oh, that's right. We just covered that.
Yeah. I know.
So irritating. No one will ever play this game. Except for you. And maybe that one guy that's in the chat room.
And there are a few people.
Okay.
There are a few people.
But this looks kind of cool, man. It's very cool. That looks kind of neat.
Yeah, it's very streamlined, and you have both planetary and space stuff. And so, you know, it's pretty much the same interface.
Are you shooting space cows? What is that?
No, I was mining asteroids.
Oh, that's asteroids. Gotcha.
And to mine them, you just fly over them.
Oh, that's cool. How come there are walls in space? Is this subspace?
This is a tutorial.
Oh.
So, because I haven't played this in a while, but now I've landed on a planet, and now I'm killing things and taking gems. But the planet stuff is kind of like, remember Starflight, where you had your little terrain rover and you had a limited amount of oxygen? It's like that. You have a limited amount of oxygen.
Mm. So that game, Into the Stars, that's coming out, right?
Uh-huh.
I was actually shocked whenever I got to a planet and it did not let me drop a rover down and run around, because I was expecting it to go full Starflight like that, because it's 90% there. and then it didn't.
It kind of is, isn't it?
It is. It's so much Starflight, and yet even the guy making it doesn't realize that it's that much Starflight. It's like, dude, that's a Starflight sequel. What's Starflight? Let me tell you. So, because it's like, if you're going to make that kind of game, that's just what's going to emerge. And, you know, it's just like, dude, go for it, man. Like, you know, but the especially because it's mini games, right? So you got like that drill that you fly down through the thing. That's cool, right? But
yeah,
but it's I don't know. I want to get the rover down there and I want to like shoot 6-legged space lions and take them back to my ship for study or whatever. So yeah, that game was awesome. I also miss God. I miss Mail Order Monsters.
Such What's a Mail Order game. Monsters?
It was a EA game from, or maybe it was Epix that made it. It was like design your own genetically engineered frickin' monster from a catalog, and then it shows up in the mail. Huh. You know, it's like, oh, I ordered a frickin' hippogriff from Amazon. It'll be here 2 days because it was on Prime. And then I fight it against, you know, the neighbors. Yeah, it was a cool game. Do you remember Archon? You know, the chess game where the monsters...
Yeah,
okay,
oh, sure.
So think that, but you get to custom design your own monsters. And it levels up and shit. Yeah. I really don't understand why nobody has made a sequel to that. So cool. But then again, Crush, Crumble, and Chomp, my God, how long did it take before we got a successor to that, right?
Well, I mean, look at the Chaos Reborn.
Yeah, well...
That came out when?
It took the same guy. That's what it took. God, I don't even remember the first one at all.
Oh, I never played it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it looks solid. There was something that was on...
Oh, it's great. The new one?
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
But there was something that was on the Genesis that was kind of like that. It was a hex-based monsters on a map and wizards. You know, like, wizard would summon monsters and then control the map with it. Kind of interesting. It wasn't an arena game, though, because Chaos Reborn is basically an arena fight. But this
thing is, but it's also an arena fight across multiple procedurally generated, you know, little terrains and stuff. It's really great.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been playing. It finally has single player, so I've been playing. I've been playing some of that.
Oh, cool!
And it's pretty fucking great.
We should play together, like against each other, because I'm not terrible.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah. I do totally have it. Yeah.
Oh, we should totally play it then.
Thursday night. Well, oh, maybe. I don't know. We're Hunter free this week. He doesn't have
his
computer set up. He is here in North
Carolina. I was about to say, I heard he made it to the great Northern Carolina territory.
Yes. Yes, he did. I don't think that they have requested that he pay taxes yet, but it's coming. Because North Carolina believes in taxation. Oh, my God. Dude, in California, do they tax you... property tax on your vehicle every year?
Tax on your vehicle?
Yeah, like I have to pay license plates and then I have to pay 1% of the blue book value of the car every frickin' year.
Not that I'm aware of. I just pay a registration.
Yeah, it's like sales tax over and over and over.
Again. Really?
Yeah, and I can't get my plates if I haven't paid the sales tax thing or property tax, whatever you call it. But it's just like, hey, you have this car, you owe us every year for road use and whatever. And even the town can get me for it, and that's why I live in the county. I that and my chickens and stuff, because I wouldn't be able to have that in town. But yeah, I was just like, I will not live in a subdivision that has a homeowners association, because they bleed money out of you for nothing. You know, I mean, they give you some assurance that your neighbor isn't going to have a car up on blocks and grass so tall you can't see the car. That's true. But if you pick the right neighborhood, you're okay, right? You know, I don't want somebody telling me, like, you can't cut down that tree. right? Without people for a mile around, everybody has to unanimously agree it's okay for me to cut down my tree. No, I own the house. You don't understand. You know? So, right. So it's like that. I like my liberty. I don't own any guns, but I do believe in liberty. And that's okay.
That's annoying.
But yeah. Oh, hey, this is kind of cool, man. You're wandering around on the planet doing that stuff.
No, it's very cool.
That's like it's like if it was more hellish, I would say that it was like a roguelike version of Nuclear Dawn. If everything was shooting at you. But that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you can play a game within just a few minutes. Oh, the entire winning team was killed. This is a very easy game to get into. It's a game you can play for maybe 10 minutes, you know, and feel like you've accomplished something. That's another thing about these games I wanted to cover it's not a game. It doesn't even always have to be a game you have to finish in a coffee break. It's just you feel like you accomplished something even in a coffee break. And this game moves pretty fast. It's a shame that it's $40
on. What?
Yeah.
God damn.
I think so.
You know, that's the problem. That's shrapnel slash.
Yeah.
Matrix slash. Yeah, Slytherin slash. All those guys, man, they way price themselves out of the market that they're trying to be in.
It's right? $39.95. It has gone on sale once or twice for like $35.
Nobody
95.
Noticed because it's hidden in
That's what kills me. I mean, I've got nothing against shrapnel. They've put out good stuff, but I mean. No one is going to play this because one, I mean, there is a demo. That's great. But I mean, that's great. But I mean, when you can buy a roguelike, like the next one I'm going to play, let me just load that up. When you can buy that for like $10.
I have to demand a particular roguelike from you.
Okie doke.
Cogmind. Because we're talking about expensive roguelikes, right? And it's like, is it worth the money? Is it what? Cogmind's like $25? $30? $30?
Yeah. Yeah.
So freaking worth it. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It is.
Yeah.
Guys, Cogmind, seriously, amazing. I almost got burnt out on it, so I had to stop playing it.
Because let's explain the concept. You start out as a robot torso.
Yeah, just a torso. You're like your power system is totally uncovered.
Yeah, you're like a
like
junk.
Your heart.
Well, you're basically guts. Laying in a junk pile in the basement.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
exactly
and you
right.
reassemble yourself from junk parts, and then stumble back into what are you? Yes. It's like some kind of complex or something.
Yeah, you're
right?
in a complex, and you're supposed to escape, but you really don't know why.
Yeah, but the guard robots, when they see you, like start shooting.
Shoot the fuck out of you.
Yeah, you've picked up maybe like a pea shooter. Down in the basement. So
yeah.
You kill the first guard and he explodes into parts. And then you go over there and it's like, oh, he dropped a gun. Bolt that on. They knocked off my leg. All right, I'll put a wheel on there. And, you know, so you're like a rolling trash heap that's on the verge of collapse at all times. And, you know, like every time you get in a fight, but then you find some good loot and then you become like a frickin' juggernaut. And
yeah, because when you destroy the robots, they leave behind their parts, and you use those parts to augment yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to be a vampire and kill the friendly little robots that mean you no harm to steal their parts. It's like, oh, my batteries are running down. Oh, sorry about this little guy.
Sorry about that, fella. I need your reactor. Just give me your reactor. God damn it. Just give me your fucking reactor. Let's play a little
bit. So what do you
it.
Do? You got to kill them, like, silently, right? Because if you, like, haul off with your bazooka and flatten one – well, not only that, you're going to tear their parts up, and that's what you're killing them for. But what do? Like, run up and tase them and just knock them out and then cannibalize them? Or?
That's pretty much the case.
Yeah?
Yeah,
because it's quiet. It's like the stealth takedown. It's the splinter cell of –
Yeah, it's pretty.
I have a certain set of robot skills. I will find you, and I will take your parts.
Right, and so I just acquired. Let's see, I just acquired an engine.
Oh yeah, other thing. While we're doing this, move the chat window there because it's blocking the UI. Right, the UI in this game is the best part of this game to me because it looks like a simple ASCII UI over there. but it's very interactive. Like, it's clickable and
everything. Yeah, oh, totally.
It's great.
Totally. Like,
wow, just close like that freaking chat, man. That's it's blocking the whole game. But anyway, like, yeah, if you click on stuff, like, there's a part, right? And if you right-click on it, it'll pop up a description of the part.
Yep.
And everything. Like, and it's, yeah, it's awesome.
And it's just, it's totally ASCII graphics.
But he didn't do it, like, lazy, right? It's not like, oh, no. This is just stagnant ASCII stuff. Like, the way, look at that. That's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
And the way that it draws, like, help text and balloons that pop up and everything, this is, like, the best frickin' ASCII UI, because it's not really, it's graphics, but he made it look ASCII to be, you know, it's like, I just dig it. It's frickin' great. Like, just the way the text changes on the screen when you flip screens, you know, how it all, like, goes digital, you know, pixely, whatever, it blurs. But yeah.
All right, how do I activate my weapons?
You have them turned on, right?
There we go. No, I have to turn. I had to turn them on.
Oh, okay. Because the stream's a little bit behind, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so embarrassing. Whenever you get charged by some guard robots and you've forgotten to switch your guns on.
Like, whoops.
Yeah. Although I do kind of wish in this, though, because combat resolves, like, instantly, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard sometimes to tell what just went on, because I don't know. I need, like, a more scrolling display of events or something, because it's got it up in the upper left, but...
But it goes by so fucking fast. Well,
oh, my God, yeah, because it's like, oh, I got 10 guys shooting at me, and there's only, like, 10 lines of info there, and every attack generates about 5 lines. So, yeah, scroll back. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. But, and I love how just simple it is. Like, I can see one of my lasers has been damaged, so I'm just going to get rid of it and attach this assault rifle and turn that on.
It's turning me on. Yeah, that's what it's doing.
Oh, God, guys, this game right here is just really fantastic. This one.
I could just, if this had, you know, it reminds me of Paradroid. That's, I think, what I like so much about it, right?
Really?
Is yeah. And this could actually take place in a spaceship for all, you know, it doesn't matter the setting or whatever. But
yeah, it does.
You're in some kind of, like, high-tech compound with a lot of computers and stuff to hack. And, you know, because there's a hell of a lot of hacking in this game, too, right?
There is a lot of hacking in this game, yes.
But that's the way Paradroid worked, was you would have another robot, but you wouldn't take pieces. You would just steal the whole robot, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that reminds me of, so Puppy Games made that, what the heck is that called? They have, like... 4 games, right? I can't remember that. So there's Attack of the Titans, Revenge of the Titans. Revenge of the Titans is spectacular. And but there's one. It's one of the robot games is a Robotron clone.
Is it Attack of the Titans? No.
That, I don't... Attack of the Titans is Space Invaders.
Right.
And then there's Robot something. God, I gotta look it up now.
Right. I don't remember either.
So, okay, here we go. Ultratron is the Robotron clone, right? More than worth it. Like, seriously, go to Steam, find everything by Puppy Games, put it on your wish list, and when the next Steam sale comes around and they drop down to a buck, just buy it all, right? It's like, if this guy made a game a week, I would buy it at $9, right? So he's working on some kind of, like, a survival Resident Evil looking thing now. That's pretty crazy. But anyway, so Droid Assault is the name of it.
Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah, so you've played it. So you know what goes down in Paradroid then, because Droid Assault is basically the modern Paradroid. But Paradroid was like Commodore VIC-20, right? Like way back, loaded on a cassette tape kind of. But you're trying to get through this spaceship, and you run into tougher guard robots, and there's some robots that just don't give a shit. They're running around doing their job. But there's some robots that'll see you and be like, hey, he's weird, shoot him. And so you run up to the guard robots and you hack them. And then it'll be like a little mini game, which is a lot like the mini games that were like in Mass Effect or what was that spy game that you were playing the heck out of?
Alpha Protocol.
Yeah, Alpha Protocol. You know how the mini games were in there? Like I'm unlocking a door, right? And you'd have match things. Yeah, it's like that. But the timer was faster depending on how low level your robot was compared to the one that you were hacking. So it would be more complex circuits and less time to do it. So you'd have to like get your level up in robots, and then try to make it out of the ship, like or all the way to the top or whatever. I never got more than halfway because that game was balls hard. But anyway, so this game is very much like that. So Cogmind reminds me of these games because here you're actually able to select pieces of the other robot and build yourself, which I think is just fabulous. But there's right, like a hacking right. game. There's all kind of, you know, disable the security and do the, you know, it's great. So, yes. Really, and then the game that saved Kerberos.
Yeah, exactly. It really is.
Can you believe one guy did this? Like, while he was making another game?
Yeah.
This was his bullshit side project. And it's like, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is sort of the star is the pit, and it's really fantastic. It's very difficult, but this is a game you could play, you know, relatively quickly in like 5 or 10 minutes and really get something accomplished. We're playing a lot of roguelikes, which, you know, makes sense.
If you live more than 10 minutes, you've done something. That's an accomplishment.
Oh, with this game especially. Oh, my God. This game
it's a bit brutal.
It is, but
I thought it's one of those games, like, once you get going, you're okay, right? But the beginning is just ridiculous. There's so many games that are like that, too, right? Like, the barrier to entry, like, to get equipped, you'll die and die and die, right? It's like whenever I play DayZ, you start out, you're freaking naked, and you have nothing, right? So you run around, oh, there's a farmhouse. You go in, oh, zombie dead. Right. I never found even a butter knife. I'm dead. And, you know, but if you get lucky and you find a gun and some bullets,
right,
then maybe you can do something. Right. And then,
you know,
but until you find that first thing that gets you over the noob hump, you're just like paper. And this game's a lot like that.
It really is. It's such a good game, though.
Have you played the Necro expansion?
This is the gold edition, so it's got everything, as far as I know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I thought the Necro expansion came out after the gold.
So. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Hang on, I could look.
Yeah, but basically, you get to play a freaking space necromancer.
Yeah, I got it.
How bad is that?
It's pretty great. This is a very imaginative game, and it's a game where you could play. If you survive a coffee break, like Jim said, you've really accomplished something. If you survive the coffee break with this game, because goddamn this game, it does not.
But
mess
games
around.
Like this, I like that because
oh yeah,
I can pick it up and play it and die, but I don't feel bad that I died. I'm not like this game it robbed me. It's more like. You're trying to push a boulder uphill, like, oh, I made it a little further than I did the last time. I'm doing good.
Right.
It's not like a game where you get like hours into it and then find out that you're boned, right?
Exactly.
It's permadeath and
that can happen with some of these, though.
Well, it could happen with this if you can get over the beginning part, right, and get a few levels under you where you're not like a freaking piece of china.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So it looks like you got a lot of hit points, man. I got 160 hit points. Yeah, well, you find out, you know, 4 hits and your enemies do a lot of hit points of damage, too. It's not quite JRPG, right, where you hit somebody for 10,000 damage. I have never understood why those games do that. It's like, why do you have, like, a million hit points, and then you hit me for 100,000 damage, and, you know, it's just like, give me, like, 100 hit points, and you hit me for 10. You know, it's the same thing, right? Like, just take some zeros off of there.
Right, exactly.
But
yeah, folks, this is a great game to play over a lunch break, because, like a lot of roguelikes, it's very difficult, it's very challenging, but the thing about this game is the level design is always fun, you know? And, the enemy, like, you're always running out of something, you know, it's a very tense, you know, and since this is the same universe as the Sword of the Stars games, you know, it really adds flavor to that whole universe, which already has a lot of flavor already, you know. I mean, the Sword of the Stars, you say what you want about Sword of the Stars 2, Sword of the Stars 1 had a lot of flavor to it, you know. And so it's nice. Have you played Ground Pounders at all?
I have tried. It is a bit unstable on my machine. It likes to crash in a couple of turns, kind of deal. I don't know what that's about. Yeah, it must be me, right? Because it's like, you know, I don't see them leaving it in that state if it was a common problem. So it's got to be something that's up with me. But yeah, it looks cool. It's a very complicated card game.
Very complicated.
Because it's like you have to deal with, well, it's a war game, but it also has a little bit of Magic the Gathering card battle going on too. So, hey, and speaking of roguelikes and card games, what the hell? Card Hunter came out on Steam.
Like, I saw that.
I don't know why it needed to, because it's a website, right? But it, you know, it's exposure, right? Because nobody knows cardhunter.com is there. Well, all of you do now. But, yeah, it was just, I don't know. I saw that game, like, oh, God, a year before it came out. And it's that motif of paper cutout D&D stuff, right? Little plastic thing with a cardboard, you know, flat barbarian in the thing. And that just nostalgically takes me back to the 70s when, by God, that's what we had, and we liked it. Snow both ways. In fact, my first BattleTech game was City Tech, actually, but it was little cardboard mechs. Then you had standees to put them in, or stand, whatever the fuck those were, little plastic feet that you put on them. And then they came out with miniatures, but there was no damn miniatures at the beginning. Like, you know, well, there was old battle droids, and I think people converted stuff over from that, but. But it was just like, yeah, you get the basic set, man. It's a bunch of cardboard stuff. Okay. So, good times. But I saw that game, and I was just like, damn, it's a roguelike, but your equipment puts cards in your hand. You know, it's like, have you ever played it, Card Hunter?
I played it a while ago, yeah. I did enjoy it, but I, you know, I got distracted by new...
Oh, they put co-op in it now. I don't know what that means, but there's co-op in it. I don't know how it would work. Like, do they have, like, two parties that work together to clear a map, maybe? We'll have to check that out. But the other thing about it, too, is, like, okay, they need to make money, right? So they have a way that you can buy, you know, it's pizza slices. I love that. But, you buy that stuff, and the lore is basically, like, you're bribing the DM to give you better loot. It's awesome.
That's actually pretty great.
Yeah. So it's the deal of like, okay, they can make some money like that, but it's not a pay to win game by any stretch, you know, cause it's balanced to be hard at, you know, without having to grind stuff endlessly or whatever. It's kind of like just right. But if you run into something where you want to advance your progress faster or, you know, or whatever, you can toss them a couple bucks, right? But it's not, you don't feel like it's a mandatory whatever. And for me, that's the sweet spot. That's like when a pay-to-play game has been done correctly, that's what it is. It's not like, oh, I hit some kind of wall and I can never progress unless, you know, swipe your credit card to continue. But you know, the thing too is like the current game players, because arcades aren't a thing anymore.
Right.
You know, Blue Wizard shot the food. Insert point.
God, 9, know, right?
8, 7. Right? like the old days, dude, those games ate money.
Yeah,
God,
they did.
It was like
we should talk about games. That'd be another topic. Is good couch co-op games, because they just talked about that on Gamers with Jobs. But that's probably something we could talk about too in terms of space games.
I have played no couch co-op though. I mean, there is a resurgence. I've noticed on Steam that
people
are making couch co-op games again,
which is good. You know, I have a
except for split screen. I hate split screen stuff.
Oh, really?
Because it's like I sit far enough away from the TV with a console that I can see it. But if you cut my view in half, it makes me crazy. But then again, I'm not one of those kids that grew up playing GoldenEye for four-way split screen on a 14-inch TV. You know, I'm sure they have a tolerance for that. But N64, baby. So, I don't know. It's just not my thing. But if you're gonna have couch co-op, let it be internet couch co-op as well. And that's fine, right? Because I know why a lot of these guys do that. It's just because they don't want to bother with netcode, right? It's like, I can make a two-player game, and it's just like, okay, both of you get real close to the keyboard. You know, we split the keyboard in half, left and right, or two game pads, or whatever, right? But I don't know. And but it's cool. Like, it's getting to the point now where PC gamers are having a PC in the living room already. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, if I have a PC in the living room that is going to be, you know, like my media home theater PC and whatever already, and it's got a nice video card in it, well, I'm going to stick Steam on that bad boy. And then, you know, that's, of course, the whole impetus behind Big Picture, right, is
for people to
do that. And I think more and more and more people are doing that.
Which is great. Which is great. Like, one of the reasons I got a PS2 is because I wanted to do more couch co-op. And that system has a lot of great games for it. Someone, AC Wrath in the chat, have you played, asked about Warframe. Have you ever played Warframe?
Yeah. Yeah, I've played it. In fact, if that's Dan, who I think it is, I would say that I've played Warframe exclusively with Dan, because I've only played it with Dan. But, it's a cool-ass game, though. Have you ever played it? Have you installed it?
I have never played it.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there was a game called Dark Sector, and it's up on Steam right now. It's like $9, but it drops down to like 50 cents when it goes on sale, and I would say...
Dark Sector?
Yes. So Dark Sector is like you get infected with some kind of nanovirus thing in the game, and you begin to slowly transform into a Japanese cyborg ninja, right? Have you ever seen the anime The Giver?
Yes.
Okay. You are turning into The Giver.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And not all at once. So it kind of progresses as the game goes. But, you know, and he gets this really cool weapon that I don't think is actually in the Warframe game. But his name is something Tenno, right? And in Warframe... You play, I don't know what the time frame is, but it's basically like there is an army of these robot cyborg ninja anime guys, right?
Yeah.
And you were like one, you know, it's like you get woken up or freed from stasis or some bullshit, right? And that's like the tutorial thing is that. And then there's like some aliens that have basically taken over the solar system. And you're fighting them, you know, and it starts with like Mercury, right? And you'll do missions on Mercury and then level up to the point where you can go to another planet or whatever. And there's like multiple enemies and stuff. It's a free to play. So there's
like, Warframe is?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Dan said they did add the glaive, right? So the weapon that the guy gets in the first game is the glaive. Like straight up from that movie in the 80s, the
Krull.
From Krull. It is the fucking glaive from Krull.
No.
And yes. And that is, I mean, he's got like a machine gun in one hand and he throws the freaking glaive and you can control it psychically with the mouse. Like as long as you keep the button held down, you can fly that fucking thing around and kill a whole room full of dudes. And yeah, it's great. And so it's awesome that it's back in the game. Like, now I got to play Warframe. So, but it's the guys that made that game originally, and they were just like, let's make an online massive multiplayer version of this. And so now it's Space Ninjas, 4-player co-op, and it's all PvE. I'm sure they have PvP in there somewhere, but the base game is all PvE. 4 people get dropped into a base or a spaceship or whatever.
Really?
And it's like, retrieve the widget. You know, and you have to like run across the map and fight the boss, take the widget, run back to the extraction point and get out. And then it adds up score. Like who did, of the 4 of you, you know, it ranks. Like who did how much damage, who did whatever. Yeah, it's very cool. And it's not really a competitive thing. You know, but my playtime is very short in it. Like I've gotten past the newbie stuff. And I've done maybe like half the missions on the first planet, but I would not say that I'm like way into it because, you know, you see people like Dan that are playing it and he's in like a clan in there and stuff or was. And, you know, it's like his character is like made out of fucking magic and sunshine, right? And my guy is just like a little ball of dirt. So, you know, but yeah, we did, he took me into this one mission. It was like a high level thing. Right. And they have it'll be like a mission that you can go into that is it's wave stuff, you know, it's like a King of the Hill survival, you know, like waves of monsters, horde mode, I guess you'd call it, where just wave after wave of monsters comes toward you, and then the 4 of you just have to basically defend the center of the map and not get overrun for whatever, and you stay in like as you know every wave is harder than the last. So it's just like, how many waves do you want to do? Do you want to stick around for the next one? You know? And somebody dies, and as long as there's one person alive, they can run over and resuscitate them and, you know, get them back on their feet. But when you're helping somebody, you're not killing monsters. So, you know, better be quick. But it's fun. And it's not pay to win. So I like that. So it's just... The way that they make their money with that game is like, oh, I see Dan, and he's got, oh, my God, he's got, like, ninja neon angel wings and, you know, shoots fire out his ass and whatever, you know, and he's just killing monsters by looking at him. Boy, I wish I had that. Well, that's worth $10. Okay. You know? Oh, he's got, you know, or it's like he's got super fancy swords and my swords are kind of plain. Right? It just appeals to that whole, like, that competitiveness of like, oh, I want to keep up with the Joneses, right? Or I want that cool thing that he's got. And, you know, people pull money out for that. So, but the game itself, totally playable. It's, you know, it's not like you're going to get frustrated like, oh, I can't play this unless I throw money at it. So what is this that you're playing here, sir?
This is called 10-Minute Space Strategy, and it is basically a Master of Orion-style game. You can play... very quickly. It basically is like, oh, let's do all the colonization stuff and everything in just like a few minutes and, you know. And
well, this is kind of what I said I wanted at the beginning of the show then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, here's Master of Orion in 10 minutes. Okay.
Pretty much.
I had no idea this existed. Where do you get this? Please don't say shrapnel. I'll cry.
No, it's free. It's totally free.
Oh.
Just type it. I can put a thing. Hang on.
Well, 10-minute space strategy. I can Google it. Yeah,
exactly. And they're called the Goblin Lunatics. Don't go to Desura. Just here, I'll just give you this.
Oh, yeah, I got it. GoblinLunatics.blogspot.
Yeah.
Blogspot.
And this is basically, you know, this is basically what
this
happens.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I would say I'm digging it.
Why can't I colonize?
How
that
did you
planet?
Discover this thing? Somebody point you at it?
I think so. I don't remember. Yeah, but it's very just straightforward. You know, very. Oh, I've got a lot of fighters. Okay. I honestly haven't played much of this. Ooh, I reached level 2 because I guess I'm researching stuff. Oh, yeah. You can change your research just up there. And there's your Empire details.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's pretty great. I dig it.
Yeah, I like stuff that's simple like this. It's lightweight, it's pretty, but yet there's probably a lot of game there. You know, like, compared to what it appears like, right? It's more like, oh yeah, there's some replayability and whatnot. So, right. I like the combat. That's cool. That's like Advanced Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of Advanced Wars, can I gush about my Nintendo? Can I gush about that for a second?
If you must.
There's so many good games on that thing.
I would have never guessed, given the fact that they outsell every other console on Earth.
No, there's a Panzer General clone called Panzer Tactics.
Yep.
That's incredible. There's a couple of space games. That Star Trek game, made by the folks who did... Starfleet Command, the first one, Quicksilver.
So is this the one that's for the old DS? That one? Okay. I did not so much dig it on the 3DS. DS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw the PSP version, and the PSP version was, like, frickin' gorgeous. And then this thing, it suffers from the platform, right?
Sure.
But, yeah. But it's okay. It's like little canned missions kind of thing. At least it doesn't burden me with the Dynaverse. That's right. Frickin' Dynaverse.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know it. But anyway, yeah, I mean, this is kind of cool. I just fired it up myself. I can't stand to watch you play it and me not.
It kind of reminds me in some ways... Because I tried to get Space Ward Ho. I really tried to find... I got a Windows copy.
Is it out on iOS or something? Like, why is it not? Okay, I was going to say, like, the only way it ever gets off of the Abandonware sites is, like, if it shows up on some other platform and then all the Abandonware sites yank it. So...
Yeah, it is totally on iOS. And,
That's the one that was, like... The cowgirl riding on a rocket, right, or something. It was the box art. I remember it from like way back. I never bought it, but I just remember seeing it in the store. You know, when they had stores that had video games on the shelf.
Oh God, I remember stores. Sure,
not the online kind. I mean the. Hey, this is cool. I can play humans. How rare?
Yeah.
Yeah,
isn't this pretty cool?
So yeah.
Yeah, so this is a free game. I'm just kind of shocked that it's free.
Oh, dude, you can play frickin' the Smog Monster from Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster. It's Hedorah. Oh, my God. The tentacle guys. I think they're probably Cthulhu-y, but whatever. The mechanized race. Yeah, I'm going for that. Oh, and you pick what kind of homeworld they're on.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, this is great because it's like it lets you design your race. I mean, I might as well be playing Galciv at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm not sure why I can't find a colony, but whatever.
So, speaking of Galciv, and you know, I mentioned the Sorcerer King and stuff. I want so badly to have Brad Wardell on here. And not specifically to talk about any game in particular, but I want to talk about AI in 4X games. And the other thing that I want to do is the guy that was working on the AI mod for Pandora. I've chatted with him, you know, but it's like he's in Germany, I think, or somewhere, Austria, some Euro country, and so the time zone is a weirdness, but. It's like, it could be one of those things where I could do it kind of like the Westman thing where it's like, well, I'm home all day. I could do whatever. But to talk to him about AI, like, how does this thing, like, take me under the hood? How does an AI in a 4X game actually think? Because when you and I play these games, we look at it like, you know, almost like, it's a role playing game and the other AI is a character, right? So it's kind of like we tend to project humanity on them, And it's good. And it's good.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, if it fools you into doing that. But when you step back and think about it, it's like, what is this thing really doing? Well, it's got decision trees, right? And it has to assign like weights to options. Like, okay, this option is heavier than the other option because I should tend to do this more given the, you know, so it's kind of like, well, I'm going to look at this factor and weigh my options. And then I'm going to look at some other factor and apply weight from that. And then when you're done, you look at how much do all your decisions weigh now that everything's been thought about, and then do the one that's the heaviest, right? So that in mind, and whenever you think about like in an RTS, the pathing, right? So there are ways to trick the AI into doing dumb shit if you figure out like how does the pathing work, right? So, because it's not human, it's not really looking at what you're, you know, it's like if you wiggle your right hand, you can do something with your left hand that the AI won't react to, right? So it's like you can bait them, like, oh, I'm going to put this army over here because they're going to run over there, and that's going to mess up right. The decision tree, and he's not going to think about this other thing, you know? And so at that point, I think when you get to think like the AI thinks and can outsmart it on that level, then it's a different game because then you're playing against, you know, it's computer chess, right? Like you're playing against the limitations of the opponent. And maybe that's what the hard modes are for, you know, where the computer just cheats like a bitch, is because like that's for those players that have figured out like, oh, I'm going to exploit the AI because I know how it actually does this. And, you know, but I would like to have both of those guys at the same time, really, just to let them talk to each other.
Could definitely try
and,
that.
Yeah, because it would be great, because have you played Pandora with his AI? It's a beast. It's like, I run into the other, but the thing is, like, diplomacy still works and everything, so it's not like they went all warmonger. Yeah. But if somebody doesn't like you, just look out. You better be good. Because that the AI, like, doesn't do stupid stuff anymore. You know, there's none of that, like, oh, I'm going to walk a guy to the left and then step to the right and then to the left. Oh, I'm out of moves. You know, it's like it was indecisive, right. You know, because there's, like, some really dumb things that it used to do. All that's gone, right? But that's the thing that cripples a 4X game whenever it comes out, is if the AI is weak and it looks like, hey, I saw this thing and it didn't do the obvious thing. It did something dumb. Or like whenever you're playing like Command and Conquer and I remember like old Red Alert, my guy is getting shot. Why is he not shooting back? You know, oh, I have to click on him and tell him what to shoot at. And it's just like, oh my God, this game is stupid. And of course they fixed that in later versions, but it's just like stuff like that. Like whenever I see the obvious stupid thing happening, then it's just like, oh, I don't want to play this anymore. And I think that's where it like bothered people, especially with Pandora. They were just like, this AI is dumb as a rock. And to the casual player, you wouldn't see it. But to people that kind of know what they're looking at, or you're observing the pattern of behavior over a couple of games, then it's like, oh, wow, this thing's right. dumb as a stump. And then I can just roll over it. So, yeah. But I heard, because Brad went on Explorminate, and he was talking with Rob and Nate and discussing about Sorcerer King and how the AI works there, and that he actually had to, like, tone it down because it was crushing the machine. You know, because he's like, oh, well, I develop, you know, on this 8-core monster, and then, you know, whenever you give it to somebody that's got, like, a i3 Pentium, whatever, and it just clobbers their machine. So he's like, I had to back it down, you know, but it does so many damn things. There's layers of AI that think about different things, and then they have a conversation with each other, you know, about, oh, what should we do? So, and then there's this whole Dungeon Master AI that's running as well. And it decides, and it's not like against you. It just tries to keep the game interesting. It's like, well, you're having a hard time and you don't deserve it. So I'll give you a nice something happens, something positive will happen. And then, oh, well, you're winning too easily. You know, it's like right. suddenly bad things, you know, and but it doesn't do it in a punishing way. It's just like it spices up the random a little bit. So remember in was it Master of Orion 2? Would they just have like random crap happen? Like, oh, this planet exploded.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally right.
So it's stuff like that, right? But it chooses when to do it. So the first game that I remember that happening in, where it was like really touted, was Left 4 Dead, the original, because they were talking about they had a director mode, right? And the AI would look at what the players are doing and just be like, it's starting to get a little boring. Throw some zombies at them. You know, they're doing too well. Throw more zombies, or they suck, or they zombies. Suck, right? And okay, I should back off a little bit, and you know, keep the game without having to select a difficulty level. Just provide enough resistance always to keep it fun, but not so much resistance that you crush all hope. You know, so. Yeah, but I see that happening a lot in games now. That seems to be the trend of where things are going. And that one game, Hand of Fate, it's just outright bold about it. There's a storyteller on the screen, you know, saying, and then this happened, you know?
I do love that. I have to say yeah. I do love that.
So this is Knave, huh? Oh, I've played this before. This game is super hard. Because like, I thought it was like... I cannot think of the name of the game.
Escape Velocity?
It just came out this week.
Because it's very much like Escape Velocity.
Yeah, kind of. I never can think of the name of his game. Like every time.
Void Expanse?
What the heck? I've got it on. It starts with P. Shit. Oh. He just released on Steam, and then he sent us keys, but I'd already bought it. You know what I'm talking about. Oh my gosh. Oh my god. It's like the same game as this, except not. Damn it. Hold on, I'll pull up my Steam list, because I'm just... It's making me nuts.
Yeah, I can't fucking remember what you're talking about. Or some... Strange reason.
Well, it's a free game, but it's $9 on Steam because
Transcendence.
That's it. For some reason, I was thinking it started with a P, and I can't. I'm thinking like words with P. It's not the yeah. Transcendence. Okay. Yes.
This game is actually a lot easier than Transcendence in a lot of ways.
Really,
because
Transcendence,
is...
I made progress. This game just beat my ass. Like as soon as I got in combat, really? It was like you're dead. Yeah.
Really, because I mean, combat is difficult, but...
Well, you know why? Because in Transcendence, I take the freighter that's got the turret. I think that's why.
That'll
hey, you want to talk about a game that's just hard as shit, Spaceship, or Starship Rubicon. Oh my god, it's so freaking hard.
Oh yeah, it's so hard.
That game is like the Demon's Souls of casual space games.
It really
or
is.
Dark Souls, or whatever the heck the name of that is. Well, no, the first one was Demon's Souls, right? And then it was Dark Souls 1 and 2. Yeah, but it's just this game that is just like, I'm going to beat your ass without mercy, and you just will not win. But you'll keep coming back, right? Because you'll make it like, oh, you'll make it to the second level, maybe the 10th time you play. it's a lot like FTL, because... It's got the branching stuff, right? So you go forward, and then it's like, do I take the left or the right branch? And then, you know, you keep going that way. But you get a little bit of choice, right? Because you can look at what enemies are going to be there before you go. But I was just shocked. Like, you know, the game looks, oh, yeah, this is like Asteroids or something, right? And then it's just like off the hook. It's, you know, the frickin' laser gate guys... where it's like a these little round dudes, and they put out laser beams, and but it's like a funnel, right? And then there's two of them that get together, and now you're trapped in a box. and you can't move. So then it's like, I have to kill one of these guys, right? And then, you know, they keep shrinking the box and killing you. Yeah, it's tough. So, oh yeah, and when you shoot the asteroids and they blow up, the asteroid debris actually kills you. It's just like, you know, you start, you got like 10 points, right? 10 points of life, you know, that little life bar. And it's just like, oh, I blew up an asteroid. And then thunk, thunk, thunk. Oh, shit, I lost 3 hit points. It's like, what? So, yeah, it's a hard game. Very hard. But I enjoy it. It's like, I could go play it. I'm not, like, frustrated with it. But like, Dark Souls, it's just like, I don't want to play that. Because you get like you get far enough in it, and then it becomes like memorization, right? It's like, oh yeah, how does this boss whatever? Oh, I have to time. Okay, 1, 2, 3, dodge. You know, and nah. But this other game, it's like so freaking fast, and it's fluid, right? So there's no pattern recognition that goes on. It's just like you have to know, just, you know, on sight. Like, oh, I should go over here and attack this guy this way. But then. Yeah, right. But it's fluid because the enemies are random in their locations and stuff. And
right. See, I think this game is a good casual game because the interface is pretty simple. Like if you've discovered a system and you want to go there, you open up your map, and I could auto nav.
Oh, so you don't have to navigate every system in between.
No.
You just jump across the galaxy one. Yeah, that's cool. So all the Stargates connect, basically.
Yeah, it's just, they might not be a straight line. Like, I'm trying to get
because you don't,
up here.
If it's 3 jumps, you go in the first one, you come out the last one, you don't see the ones in the middle. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because whenever you're playing, Void Expanse, you can autopilot, but you drop out of the gate and then it will autopilot you through real space across the whole sector to the other gate.
Oh, that's what this does.
Yeah. So it doesn't just hop you all the way.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
No, it doesn't. Oh, I feel like I'm going away from where I need to go. Not enough fuel. Oh, I gotta land. Gotta land and get some fuel. Okay. But yeah, like, there's this border around your screen that shows all the planets and ships and gates, and if you right-click on one of them, you just fly to it. And it's just
that
simple. And then, you know, and then travel, you just travel and you land and you do missions. And how do I fuel? Do I fill up? How do I fill up? I don't know how you fill up. Do I have enough money for anything? I don't. Okay, that's fine. But I should have fuel now. Yay. Okay. But yeah, this is a really fun game if you want to just fly around and do missions for like 20 minutes and feel like you accomplished something, or just, you know, get into some combat. The combat, since it's isometric, it does take a little getting used to, like escape velocity type combat. I'm not the best at games where I'm better at games with first person combat stuff, but games like this, I'm not the best at. I need to be able to actually aim at my shit. But it's not terrible. Where am I? Okay. Ooh, I need to go there now. Go, go, go. Oh, I need fuel. God damn, I need fuel. Okay. I forget where my fuel is. Oh, I have no fuel. It's right down there. So yeah, this game is free. It's going to be on Steam eventually. They got greenlit. I don't know what they're going to charge for it. I mean, that just seems like, what? Because you can just download it now for free.
Well,
but it is a lot of
fun. They could
put
it on Steam for $1 or something, right? And then just make a little bit of money. Because it's so easy. See, when it's on your own website and you have to put up a shopping cart and then somebody has to trust you to pull their credit card out and type it, it's painful, right? But, you know, and here's my suggestion to everybody that is going to have their own shopping cart on their own website for any frickin' product: take Amazon payments, please. Not just PayPal. Take Amazon payments. Because I don't like dealing with PayPal, but I do everything with Amazon. And if there's a little yellow Amazon button, I'm like, oh, joy, click, and we're done. Because it lands on my Amazon card, I get 3% back, you know, whatever, it's great.
I just got one of those.
So nice.
Is it? Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. I use Amazon for fucking everything. Well,
here's the thing. Think about this. You have an Amazon affiliateness, right? So do you use it every time you buy anything?
No, I keep it.
See, so you need to make a link on your desktop or in your browser or something that is Amazon with your affiliate code in it, and then just use that to get there, and then it's done, right? Then, because you're getting, I don't know what percentage they pay. What percentage is it? It's like 5%, 3%?
Something like
that. So then the Amazon card gives you another 3% back on top of that. So figure you're getting 10% off everything. Now it's worth it, huh? So, yeah. Oh. I dig it. It's nice. So, in fact, my book showed up today. I bought Hammer Slammers, the volume one of the collection thing. Have you heard of Hammer Slammers?
I think I have. Is that the Space
it's hover
Marine
tanks.
Thing?
It's like Team Yankee in space. It's awesome. So I'm told. But yeah, because you saw the deal on Facebook. Like I posted that giant gallery of hover tanks, and I'm like, damn it, I want a hover tank game.
And then
Mike wrote back, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, Hammer Slammers. And I started looking at it, and I was like, damn, how come nobody's made this into a computer game yet? Awesome, because it should be really, like, it needs to be. Anything that is a tabletop miniatures game should probably be on a computer. As a turn-based strategy game,
that's where a lot of the early games came. Computer strategy games came from, didn't they? They were all like adaptations of board games,
and they should be again, right? Because board games have we're talking beer and pretzels, right? Board games have to have rules that are simple enough to be playable by humans without a frickin' computer, right?
Right.
Okay, let's leave Advanced Squad Leader out, because I don't know if you've ever played that.
I
god.
I have not.
Well, you can play like Advanced Squad Leader, like the basic set thing, and it's not so bad. But when you start stacking expansions and shit on it, you need like a college degree in Squad Leader.
That's what I've heard.
Have you ever seen somebody that had a full binder of Starfleet Battles rules? It's like a phone book. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, at that gaming convention, you couldn't go to.
Yeah, God, I wish I could have stuck around for the second day of that. I should have took a day off work.
You should have.
I was retarded for not taking the day off.
You would have loved it.
Definitely. It's speaking of conventions, they just had LaveCon.
I heard about that.
There was only like 100 and some people that showed up, though. So, it's not DragonCon by any stretch. But.
So, Mr. Rogers in YouTube says, couldn't they put a game like this free to play on Steam? And they could, but I mean, Transcendence, what they did is they had the base game was free, if you recall. And then, right?
Base game's free, and then there's a $3 and a $6 expansion. So, they bundle the expansions and $9, right? So, you buy the game from them on Steam, and you get all the expansions in the price, which is the same that you would have paid. So, yeah. What is this mess here?
This is Galcon.
Okay.
Remember this game?
Barely. Sort of. Didn't the game... Is this tutorial mode or something?
Yeah, I can't skip it. I can't skip it.
Because what I remember, I think it was Galcon, where there was some game like this where you had like a web of planets, right? And then you were just sending fleets down the warp lines.
That's pretty much this. And there have been copies.
Okay, maybe
of
it was
game.
Somebody that made a copy of it that wasn't exactly this, because I never saw this tutorial thing. So,
well, this is actually the second Galcon.
Oh, maybe the first one doesn't have it, and that's why. Perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I do not know. But, this is a game you could play really easily. It doesn't have much in the way of single player, unfortunately.
So this is just like flock behavior, huh?
Pretty much. You basically send fleets to different planets so they can take over those planets.
Is that the number that's on there? Like,
those are the numbers. Yeah, those are the numbers.
So how do you know how many is going to go? Is it half?
I honestly don't know.
Like, pick one.
It's
half.
Question. Is it? Okay, I guess it is. I guess
yeah,
it
it's
is.
Absolutely, because you had 35, you sent, you clicked and sent them, and it went to 17, so, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so this is a game you could play really fast, because it's basically just sending fleets all over the goddamn place.
This is like the frickin' cookie clicker of space games. What the?
It kind of is. Yeah, it kind of is. And that's one of the reasons it's worked well in multiplayer is because it's just it's quick to play. That's one of the reasons people like it so much. And understandably so. It is a fun game. It's very simple. Might be a little too simple for some folks, but if all you're looking for is some quick spacey action, you know, this will get you going. You know, it's not the best, but it's not the worst either. Oh, wow. I didn't know you could send all your fleets to, like, I didn't know. Yeah, oh, wow. You can double-click a planet and send every ship you have to that planet. It's, wow, that's kind of crazy. Oh, is that what Mayhem Intergalactic is? A turn-based version of Galcon? Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because I have that game. I've actually never played it. I got in a bundle or some crazy-ass shit. But yeah, this is a game you could play real quick.
We should actually, like, once a month have Dan on the show. Because he's the frickin' bundle king. Like, if anything is in a bundle, I get in the email. Right, or something. Yeah, or he'll be on Facebook. He's like, dude, look at the bundle.
Yeah. Dan, why are you letting me out of this treasure trove of bundle? I mean, I get like three emails for every bundle that comes out, but still, stuff slips through the cracks, you know? I want a bundle. All right, so let's go to the game that just hates me, and I'm not fond of it either. You know, this is a quick playing game, but you'll hate yourself afterwards if you have any type of anxiety. Fucking game. I hate this game.
Oh god, is it FTL?
It's fucking FTL.
I knew what it was. I knew it.
Fuck
it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking FTL.
You know what I want to see that you own is Space Rogue.
What's that? It's nowhere near as good as this. It's basically they copied this game, gave it like a 50s style aesthetic.
That's like made XCOM Interceptor.
And yeah, but I mean, it's just not as good as this. Like I was bored in like 10 minutes. But have you seen Interstellaria?
Yes, I do own that. That's neat.
Yeah, that's also pretty neat. Mr. Rogers, I did see you on Steam chat, I mean YouTube chat, and I responded. I said you said something. It's just I can't respond while Jim is in the middle of saying something. You know? So,
and Jim
I
talks
apologize.
All the time. That's...
And Jim talks a lot. Yeah, Jim's a chatter.
I'm a bit chatty.
He's a chatter.
That's what happens.
You're chatty. So yeah, this game can be played real quick because you'll never last that long. Because the game hates you.
This
It'll
game
never last
me.
That long.
Yeah, so
it
apparently,
really does.
If
it
you
does.
Do well, which I've never done, you actually get better ships in subsequent plays. Or
yeah,
something.
No. I have never.
I have never seen the second level. I've played this game for
neither
20
years. Neither
have I. Oh man. So.
Yeah, like I've never gotten anywhere near the end.
Hey, what about ever. Subspace? Would you call that a?
Yeah, because those matches play really fast. That's a good one. Those matches play very quickly. So that is true. Yeah, those matches play real fast. So that's a good one. It's a tough game, and the people who are playing it now, they're like the experts.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. They are. Because they've been playing it since it came out, pretty much.
Because there's other games that are like that, like Altitude. It's subspace with airplanes, kind of. It's fun. It's not free to play. Yeah, it costs a couple bucks, but yeah. Yeah, it's worth it. Do you remember the biplane combat game that it was part of Combat on the 2600, and then the Intellivision had a version of that too? And
did you see that a game called Biplane got greenlit today?
No, I did not. Is it a side side-scrolling biplane game?
No, it is not. A bunch of space games got greenlit today. One of them was that Pocket Galaxy game that looks really nifty.
I should pay attention to Greenlight again. I haven't looked for a while.
I think you got bitter after a while. You got burnt out and just needed to fucking walk away. And that's fair. That's fair. Mr. Rogers, I've not played XCOM yet for the same reason that I don't like playing FTL, because I'm terrified that I'm going to get too attached to my men and hate myself when they die. And I've heard the long war actually makes it even harder. I don't want that.
I've played Long War, right? And when you play Long War, because...
Oh, I've got Altitude. Yeah, okay. It's funny.
So when you play Long War, it's so bitchin' hard, and the AI is just smarter in general, and more bloodthirsty. They don't pull any punches, and they send a lot more enemies, and there's like little drone things that come out. Remember... In Half-Life 2, they had those frickin' spinning, like, saw blade drones that would chase you around. Yeah, there's fuckers like that in there. They don't physically attack you. They got little lasers, but they're just, like, little drone things that are, you know, about the size of somebody's head. And they come in flocks, and they suck. And they fly, so terrain means nothing. And, you know, it gives you some advantages, and you start with bigger squads. Like, you can send six guys on a mission right off the bat. And I think you can get squads up to 8, I think. But then the enemy has a lot more dudes, too. The weapons are a lot more deadly. And yeah, it's frickin' hard mode. It's like turned up to 11. So I played that quite a bit. And then I went back to the vanilla XCOM. And it's like vanilla XCOM used to abuse me. No more. it's like a pleasure to play now, because it's just like, really? It's just like XCOM's like kind of casual now compared to what Long War was. But I seriously encourage anybody that plays XCOM, just install Long War. You have to have the expansion for XCOM, the whatever it's called, Enemy Within.
Enemy Within.
You need that, because it depends on a lot of that stuff. Well, you can play it without, but then you miss a bunch of stuff too, so definitely have it. But what I found, though, is have you not played it with Enemy Within? Or what?
I've not played it at all.
Oh, my God.
I told you. I'm terrified of playing it. I have it installed.
Play it.
I really am terrified of it.
Okay, so I know. So play it on easy, okay? But play it with...
Okay.
Play it with Enemy Within, and there's what they changed in this is there is Element X or whatever the hell they call it, right? The meld stuff, and there will be canisters of meld, and they have timers on them, and it's usually like 6 or 10 turns. You have to get to it and touch it, right? And if you don't, then it just evaporates. The enemies tend to stick around that stuff for obvious reasons. But that is the currency with which you buy your super soldiers. So you want to get it, and you want to get it fast. Okay. So the meld stuff, what I did is I went the cybernetics route, because you can also like genetically enhance soldiers and make fucking X-Men out of them. Right. But I decided this playthrough, I'm going to go like cyber soldier guys. So you cybernetically enhance these guys, which basically means chop their arms and legs off and replace them with metal. And then when they're enhanced like that, then they will interface into the mech suits. And they are straight up mecha, like anime style robot suits. So it's like giant robot with human head poking out the top. And they're awesome. Because they start out, like, you got, like, a flamethrower and a minigun. The minigun only gets, like, three shots, and then you got to reload it. But they're pretty accurate. And you can get bonuses for, like, the dude doesn't take an aim penalty while he's in Overwatch. You know, if you pick the one thing, you can get jump jets on them so they can just jump to the roof of a building. Shit like that. So I've got, like, two of those guys and like, four normal humans that run around with them. And it's just godlike now. I don't lose people in missions. It's awesome. Like, I was getting killed left and right earlier on. But no more, because I got my Robocops. And the thing is, they don't get injured. Like, you can fix them, because, you know, it's like, unless they completely tear up the robot suit, the human inside never gets hurt. So it's not like, oh, he's out for 3 days because he got hurt in the last mission, he got a scratch. No. They're on every mission. So it's beautiful. But the thing is, it makes the game pretty easy, too, at that point. So that's why I say play it with that and go the cybernetics route. I could have a whole squad of six of them if I'd gotten enough meld. I think. I don't think there's any artificial limit on it. I could have a full squad of frickin' robots. And it would be pretty awesome. So, and then I built the little, it's called a Shiv, which is basically like a bomb disposal robot with a minigun on it. And it's mobile cover because you can actually hide behind it with a human. And so I use that thing to scout. It's just like run it out in the middle of the street. Who gives a shit? I'll build another one. It's awesome. Yeah, but definitely. Oh my God. Play that game. Call in sick tomorrow. Tell him you got XCOM flu.
No, I can't do that.
You got Illyrium flu. You've been exposed to Illyrium 113. Must be quarantined with the game.
That's funny. Yeah, I hate this game, though. I hate this game. But you can play it real quick.
Unless you're good at it.
Unless you're really good at it. But look, I just save and quit like that. I'm done. Look at that. Yeah. See, 20 minutes of hating myself, and now I'm done. Quick, easy, done. Wow, we've been talking about 2 hours.
So what else is on the list? Let's just rip through the list, right?
Okay,
so we
hang
on.
That's a relaxing game. You could play for a little while.
My server's up. So if you're on the Space Game Junkie Facebook group, there's a post. And it reveals the secret location of my Void Expanse server. And you can join and play with us. And then Neptune's Pride, I have no idea what that is.
Those are both like browser-based strategy, like 4X-y games. Those are things like you make a turn a day, you know, so you can play like your turn. You set up all this shit to do in your turn in like 20 minutes and you're done for the day. Yeah.
So it's like freaking Star Traders, like a BBS door game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much like what those are. Smugglers 5 or the Smugglers games are kind of like these turn-based, elite-ish, open, worldy, top-down things that are pretty easy to get into. And Spaceward Ho is kind of the granddaddy of them all. I just couldn't get a copy to that.
So is that like a space business thing, or is it a...
I'm thinking of Space Bucks. You're thinking of Space Bucks. Basically, Spaceward Ho is kind of a 4X, but it has only... It strips it down to, like, the bare essentials. You take a planet, and you just... There are two resources, I think, is energy and metal. And you use more energy and metal to build more ships, to take more planets, and fight other bad guys. It's pretty simplistic, but a lot of fun, and the AI is pretty damn good. So it's like a classic. And, oh God, hang on. Cause like you can buy, I don't know if they made it work though. Hang on. You could
buy good old games, man. They need to do it. Get it done.
Well, the folks at Delta Tau who originally made it, they're still making it. You could buy Spaceward Ho. But it's only a Mac game. It's version 5.
But I do have a Mac.
And it's $30. Or if you want to buy two serial numbers, it's $40, so that's $20 a person. But basically when you colonize a planet, it gets a cowboy hat, and then you just, You fight other guys. It's very straightforward. You know what's not straightforward? Did I tell you I started playing this again? Stars? That is not straightforward.
I remember that Stars way back in the day, but I never had it because I was pre-PC. I was like on an Amiga, and they didn't have it.
Oh, so that game is like Windows 3.1 interface. I'm not lots of drop downs.
Wow.
Lots of right clicking.
Space Bucks.
Yeah, that game's amazing.
Have you?
Yeah, we're doing a show on that.
I have it.
So many years ago.
So the abandoned war sites have it. It's hard to find because it's not very popular. But I found it finally. I had to dig. It is a Windows 3.1 interface. It sure is. But it's cool though. I mean, it's kind of like when I'm playing with that thing and I'm thinking like, this is kind of like if I had made Apollo 4X myself from the ground up and I'm making a space trader game, something, I would have kind of made something like that, but more like roguelike. Like, okay, you start with one spaceship, but you fly it around manually, kind of like you do in Nave or whatever. You know, it's like fly it to this planet, pick this up, fly it to that planet, drop it off, you know, buy fuel, whatever. And until you get enough money, and then you buy a second ship, and then you can actually hire a driver and automate the route, right?
Wasn't that Star Reach? Remember Star Reach from 1994? Yeah, you got to fly around the ship, and you go from planet to planet. You'd manage your shit, and you do missions with your ship. And
yeah, but did you get multiple ships? Yeah, that game was though, because that's what I'm talking.
I don't remember.
That's what I'm talking about. Is like. Once you got enough money that you could get a second ship, then you would automate that ship, but you have to pay the pilot, right? But you just set waypoints, and it's like you're going to fly these waypoints and you know, buy and sell these things on your way, and then make enough money, you get a third ship or whatever. And eventually it becomes Sid Meier's Railroad Tycoon in space.
Because the whole deal,
right, in Railroad Tycoon, it's like, okay, I build a train track, you know, I put a train station, right, down like where this cotton farm is, and then I build train tracks up to the big city where the factory is that has a textile mill. So I've linked the supplier and the manufacturer. So now the textile mill starts crapping out T-shirts and underwear, and then I have to haul those over to New York City, where there's a market for it because there's a department store or whatever, right? So you're basically like building a supply chain and then becoming the transport guy. But it's a monopoly thing because you own the track and you don't have to let other companies on your track, kind of thing, right? So I was just thinking, well, like, shit, man, you could do that as a space game. Just take Railroad Tycoon. Instead of cities, it's planets, and instead of train track, stargates, you know, or something, right? And then, but you own the ships, and you have to pay maintenance on the ships, and you can throw money into research to get better parts for your ships, or you know, upgrades or whatever. So then it's like, well, do I buy a new ship, or do I refit my old ships, or do I what? You know, and it's like, God, you could do so much with that. And it's just like I'm playing Space Bucks, and I'm thinking like, yeah, I could do a merged remake of a combo of Space Bucks and a Railroad Tycoon, and it would be freaking awesome. But I don't know if there's a market for that or not. But maybe there is. People just don't know they want it yet. But I think that's pretty cool. The only other thing that we really absolutely must cover this week is the Oculus Rift Robot Jocks game. Did you watch the video?
Of course.
Holy
I watched
shit.
The video.
I bought an Oculus Rift spiritually, like that moment. I was just like, all right, we're done. I'm in.
Well, I'm going to get one eventually, but I got to upgrade my PC first.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's going to actually take to push that. Like, It's two 1080p screens, right? So if you can run double 1080p monitors at 60 frames a second, you should be good. So right, I wonder if that's like if that'll make SLIs important again. Because
well, probably. All I know is that that 3D Mark thing I got to help benchmark my system, it has a listing for, you know, Oculus Rift. And I'm like halfway there.
Well, you just need two computers, and you'll be fine.
I just need two PCs slaved together like Whopper. Just put them together. So I wonder, are we going to have Hunter back next week?
I think so. I don't know. He's not that far away. I'll just go down and kidnap him.
Have you guys actually hung out yet, or is he too crazy?
No, he just got here, and I know that he's probably unpacking. And if I go there, I have to unload.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna wait till the manual labor's over, and then I'll show up. Just be like, hi. You know. So, other stuff, just real quick on the list. So, yeah. Ring Runner, that's kind of beer and pretzels to me. Pixel Junk Shooter also. That's also, we were talking about like couch co-op, Pixel Junk Shooter. Yep.
Really?
Dead Knots. Is it?
Dead
Knots? Have you, or Dead Knot? There's no S on the end. Have you played that?
Have I played that?
That's the game. It's like you're sitting in the control thing of the spaceship. Okay, so like in Aliens. In Aliens
that
when they were they're in the Marines.
Yeah, you're the lieutenant back on the ship guiding them through this little like scanner thing. You're like, oh god.
And what it is, it reminds me of Sentinel Worlds 1 because your guys are just blips on a map.
Oh right.
And it's just like, oh well, I got my blips here, and then you have to actually read what the guys are saying. They're like, yeah, there's a door here and a whatever, and then you give them orders like, okay, you go over there and hack the door, and you stand over here and cover that hallway, right? But you can't see shit because you only see what shows up on the sensors, right? So it's almost like you're looking at their motion tracker, and it's like boop. Oh shit, something's coming. I don't know what. You know, it's a blip. And you know, you put your guys, and then where you see like one of your dudes will scream, and then you see his dot like getting drugged down the hallway. And then his life meter goes flat, and it's like, "Oh shit." And yeah. So it's pretty neat because the game is it's like FTL level of tense, but worse because you can't see anything and your imagination, it's like horror movies when you're a kid, right? Like the thing that you don't see is far scarier than the monster that they actually put on the screen. All right. So that game kind of plays that. It's just like, imagine how horrific this is. What's the worst thing you can think of? Yeah. It's like that. So
yeah, that game scared the crap.
It's all about
me.
Like
it really
limited
did.
Information.
So tense.
And it's like, how can I keep my guys alive? Limited information. And it's just their observations is all you see. You know, they'll describe stuff. And it's like, if they're not perceptive, then you lose. but yeah, it's kind of interesting. And then, you also, I don't know if you've played it enough to know, but some of the guys don't get along together. And if you put them in a squad together, their stats suffer. Yeah, so you got to like go over and actually read their personal dossiers and figure their personalities out and decide like who's in what with who. And, oh, I don't want these two people to stand next to each other and whatever. Yeah, there's a lot more depth there than you think. And the game is balls hard. I've never seen the second level. Let's put it that way. Or no, I did. I survived the first ship and then died in the second one. So, because it's like playing Space Hulk, but all you can see is the radar. And it's nice. I don't know, man. It's like haunted ships. You know, there's like freaking
there's like really
freaking supernatural bullshit going on the ship.
Yeah, and they're procedurally generated, which is why I bought it, obviously.
Yeah.
those are my tweak words. But yeah, that's a good one too. We gotta play that Space Commando game more. That game is balls hard, but fun. Hard.
I like it though. I mean it's kind of
I dig it. I dig the fuck out of it. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I do like it. So as far as I've gotten, is you get to the second floor of the first level, and you there's like all those fucking bugs that come boiling up out of the vent, and I tossed your grenade down the vent and kind of sealed it off, and then I was able to get through that. Well, then like the next room is like full of water or something, and there's like shit in there that was just murdering me, and I was not prepared. So it's just, it's like, oh, start over.
Yeah, it's great though. Ultimate Space Commando people.
It's expensive. Great. That's another thing, right? Where it falls in. Yeah, it's like $20. Right? And that's the thing that people hesitate because they see those pixely graphics, right? And it looks kind of, looks like a game from maybe 94, 95, something like that.
Oh, well, the interface doesn't help in that regard because it is an interface from 94.
I mean, it does. It looks like a rebooted thing that came on floppy, right? And
it really does, but guys, seriously, it's great.
It is. It's really good. It's got a little bit of a pacing problem with me because it's kind of like, I don't know. You know the other game that is a lot like it is Halfway.
Oh, I haven't played it yet.
Shit, dude. Stop. Drop everything. Play Halfway.
I got it like on GOG. It was like a super sale.
Yeah,
or something.
So it's the same game, kind of. Except that it's a story. Oh. So it's like dude and girl wake up out of cryo sleep. Oh shit, where are we? I don't know. What's been going on the ship? And then, you know, of course the crew has space madness, so they're like not zombies. They're like, you know, not zombies or whatever, but they act like zombies because they just charge at you. But they're smart zombies because they can use guns later. So yeah, so it's just kind of like figuring out what the fuck went down on this ship, and it's pixely graphics, but they're nice. And there's a lot of like containers to search and whatever, but the movement, the turn-based stuff is like, it's pretty cool because you only get like two action points, right? So you move and shoot, move twice, shoot twice, you know, split it up. It's something simple like that. I haven't played it for a couple months, but, it's nice. Another game that will remind you of that that's frickin' brutal hard is Steam Marines.
I haven't played that one yet.
It's like a kind of Gene Stealer-y. It feels like a Warhammer 40K, but steampunk. But you're on a spaceship and, you know, fighting aliens in corridors and stuff and turns. so it's a bunch of games that are kind of like that. But then again, that goes back to Julian Gallup's lasers.
Oh, you want to hear something crazy? I just saw this. I just saw this randomly. This is going to be a political thing. No, let's. I'm going to show it to you after the show. So, guys, next week, I guess Hunter will be back, and we're going to talk about movie and TV show spaceships. Something we really haven't. We've broached it a bit, but we're really going to get into it.
It's the Eagle from Space 1999. Oh, no, wait. It's the, what was the thing in UFO? It was the something diver.
I know what you're talking about. No, it's the flying submarine from,
City Under the Sea.
What the fuck was that submarine? No. The one with the futuristic submarine. It was a movie
there
first.
There was City Under the Sea.
No, it was a movie.
It was a yellow
first.
Manta submarine.
No, it was a flying, what the fuck was it?
Well, there was one that looked like a manta ray and,
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I own it. No. You cannot dispute my movie collection.
Wait a minute. Voyage to the Bottom
of the Sea. Okay.
That's what I was thinking of.
Maybe Voyage City Under the Sea was like the Italian title.
It had that really stingray-ish looking submarine with the giant windows in the front. Remember? And then it had that flying submarine. That's the best shit.
So, this came up,
right,
apparently at LaveCon or something, because there was, you know, people could ask questions of whatever. So the Manta was also a ship in Elite, right? And it was a Manta Ray because it was inspired by that flying submarine. So the thought is planetary landings. What about you reintroduce this Manta spaceship? And then it's a submarine when we land on the planet and we can, like, cruise around in the oceans and shit. And they were like, yeah, well, you know, that's not entirely unreasonable or something. And it's like, really? Like, okay, so we're not just going to have, like, procedural, you know, land on the planet, whatever, but also go under the water and whatever. So I think they're man, it scares me because it's almost like they're promising that Elite is also going to incorporate No Man's Sky or some shit. And it's just like, no. Like, planetary landings would be fine if you just, like, land on the planet and pow, you're in a city. It would be like Privateer, right? Like, yeah. Oh, I'm landing on the planet. Okay. And then there's a city that you go to or something, right? And I don't – they're talking about – they, too, are talking about first-person mode, you know, where you run around and whatever. And it's like that's what's frickin' murder and, you know, that other game that we don't talk about anymore. So it's just like, God, why? I don't need that. Just let me land on the planet. Just make it a space station like any.
Wait, what other game don't we talk about anymore? Oh, nah. You know what? I think I'm going to just put that one in the back of my mind for now. Wait like 2 more years and then see what happens. You know? Because when I saw that Elder Scrolls Online, which I just got.
Oh, did you get Elder Scrolls Online?
Oh, it was good. $12.
Yeah, because Dan and I are going to jump hardcore into that. Maybe Joan, too. So,
it's, yeah, yeah. And
he was making
beautiful.
Some armor last night. And it's pretty great.
I was enjoying it, but that took 7 years to make. So once I heard that, I'm like, oh, maybe we should relax a little bit. So I'm just going to put that back there. But anyway, next week, folks, movie and TV spaceships. Hunter will be back. If you have a favorite, hit me up on Twitter, Space Game Junkie. I'll be asking around about what's your favorite movie. I mean, some people have said the Amato, Mr. Rogers, Meister Rogers. The White Star from Babylon 5, apparently. The Eagle, someone was with you on that. Mr. Rogers was with you on the Eagle. I said TARDIS because, come on. It's the best. Anyway, folks, we will see you next week because I got to go to sleep. We've been talking over 2 hours. So, any last words?
Yeah, the Mega Maid. That's actually the best. The best movie. Or what about like the big Jewish star thing? I forget what that's actually called.
We're Jews.
They never had a name.
They never had a name. They were just those ships from the Jews
but
in space.
But I mean the actual Jewish six-pointed star symbol. The Ogan David.
Star David.
Okay, so the Star David.
Star David.
Yeah. So the intergalactic Star David.
I still want that movie.
I really do not want that movie. Because if they make more than what's there, they could disappoint me. But if it is just the taste,
it won't be
of
as
like,
good.
Oh my God. Because when you watch that, I've just watched the clip, you know, that I posted it up on Facebook for you guys. But I just watched that little clip. And I'm just like, my God, they put so much effort into that little 30 seconds of Jews in Space that, I mean, it looks legit like a LucasArts thing from the era, you know, the way Star Wars looked back then. It's just like they spent money on that shit. That's not a CG model. Somebody made a giant frickin' Jew Star Destroyer. And that's the best part, man, is they did all that work for 30 seconds of magic.
I know. It really
and
is magical.
Only Mel Brooks can get away
really
with that shit. Especially in our modern political correct society.
When Goya attack us. It's like, oh my God. What?
All right.
Really? That's great. Anyway, folks, we'll see you next week. Right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.